Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, new Tiana Bayou Adventure news, a new Disneyland After Dark night announced, a halfway celebration.
Some shopping locations are back, some in-person ordering returns. We have another Trivia Spectacular with producers James and Vern, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the DL Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings, and be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of April 19th, 2023. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Teg Bushman. We got to send a shout out, a big thank you to Kavehi S for increasing your support. All of our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. A special thank you to Ray A, Kara D, Katie W, and Deanne S for your continued support. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join the community.
Well, our next trip to the park is just weeks away, and we'll be hosting a weekly tier meetup. Please join the host, producers, and other weekly tiers on Sunday, April 30th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at none other than the Earl of Sandwich. We're very excited to see everyone that's able to make it.
Stop by and say hi. You don't have to stay forever or anything, but just stop by and just say hi.
Another fun thing to mark your calendars for that day is we have decided that instead of doing our April live stream the weekend before while we're still in cold Wisconsin, why not push it back a week so that we can do it in the sunshine at Disneyland? So if you're not able to join us in person for our meetup, our YouTube live stream that is open to the public will also be on April 30th at 3:45 p.m. Pacific.
Well, that's that time again where we check in with Eric over at Concierge to see what's going on in the rest of the Disney universe.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Tech and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey in Walt Disney World, where, as we mentioned last time, it's time for the 25th anniversary of Disney's Animal Kingdom. That's right, April 22nd is the 25th anniversary of Disney's Animal Kingdom, the fourth major theme park at Walt Disney World. To celebrate this occasion, Disney is rolling out a pile of merch, plenty of theme park-worthy outfits, the sort of thing that you just want to pick up and have ready for your next trip to the parks. Spirit jerseys, pocket tees, patterned button-down shirts, you're going to want to check these out. As usual, whenever Disney has a celebration, they're going to release a few limited edition food items. Check out the dessert offerings, including a gigantic, or well, they're calling a colossal, elephant roll, and a magic cupcake for the 25th anniversary. And at Tiffin's, guests can enjoy a 25th anniversary dessert platter. Some of the fancier offerings include a beehive mousse dome and a flamingo-shaped cupcake. You can also seek out the Bubbling Pink Lagoon and Viva Gaia tonic drinks. As usual, Disney's going to put out a whole foodie guide for Earth Month that will cover not just Disney's Animal Kingdom, but all of the other parks at Walt Disney World. Give it a look and maybe bring a few napkins in case you're salivating too much. During the month of April, the animation experience at Conservation Station, which is a great location that you can reach only by train at Disney's Animal Kingdom, you can learn to draw characters like Dumbo, Turk from Tarzan, Crush and Bruce from Finding Nemo, or Tigger, or Simba. Wilderness explorers at the park can also earn a special limited badge by doing a nature challenge that only occurs during Earth Month every year. Make sure you head to Disney's Animal Kingdom during your next trip. Even if it isn't Earth Month, there are so many amazing experiences to be had that are unique to this park alone. It's a really great adventure. Speaking of adventure, take to the high seas on any of the Disney Cruise Line voyages and experience a little bit of that park's magic you're used to at home. Disney Band Plus is debuting on the Disney Cruise Line soon. With Disney Band Plus, you can enjoy all of the same features that you've enjoyed with Magic Bands for so long. You can unlock your stateroom door. You can charge meals or treats or even souvenir purchases straight to your room through your Magic Band. I'm sorry, Disney Band. Just like the Magic Bands of the past and present, Disney Band Plus is completely adventure-proof. The Disney Wish will be the first to unveil this new technology. We'll get a little bit more info on dates to come. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Reach out to your official travel planner, Lynn of Consi Ears. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson for the rest of Consi Ears, and this has been your D180. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, Consi Ears. We even have a snazzy new newsletter for you to subscribe to. We also look forward to planning something special for you and yours. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Thanks, Eric, for that update. Now let's get to the news.
There is all kinds of new information about Tiana's Bayou Adventure coming to Disneyland in 2024. Disneyland's version of Splash Mountain will officially close on May 30th to begin the transformation. In addition, new concept art was released showing Mama Odie joking with guests in the attraction with the return of Jennifer Lewis voicing the character.
So I just want to be clear because I saw a couple dates going around and it depends on how you word it. The last day you can ride Splash Mountain will be on May 30th. May 31st, it is closed. So some people had said that it's closing on May 31st, but I just want to make sure it was clear that like nobody shows up on May 31st thinking they could ride it, which means we get to get one more ride in.
Splash did us a little. Splash wasn't very kind to us in December. That is the most drenched I think I've ever been.
It was bad
on that attraction. It was bad. It was really bad. Like there was not. I don't think I had a dry spot anywhere on me. My hair was dripping. I mean. If you'd like, I think, the video is still out there on our Instagram. If you go to our highlights, our saved reels, our December 2022 trip, you can see that beautiful transformation of us just looking like, I don't know.
But on this
trip, it looked like we went for a swim in Splash
Mountain.
We
talked to him tonight. Producer James said he's fine being in the front row this next time.
Yeah,
so
because we ended up, Vern's been in the front. You were second, and it was disaster.
Vern's been in the front and gotten dredged before, It's producer James's turn.
Can we talk about this concept art?
I knew it was coming.
I am so excited.
Can
for
I
this
tell you a joke
art.
About this? Somebody online said, "Oh, the way that she has her arms up, it's totally going to be a repurposed goose or whatever from dancing."
Oh no!
But no, it says it's a brand new audio animatronic.
Brand new audio animatronic. Mama Odie is such. She's so spunky. I just love her character so much. And let's not forget to mention the beautiful glass lanterns that are all hanging around her. This is going to look amazing. Now, I hope. This is going to sound crazy. They're not, maybe they won't do this. I almost want Splash, like the speed of what Splash Mountain's speed is now. I almost hope that there was a way that they could slow down the boats because some of the scenes currently in Splash Mountain, I feel like you blink and it's gone. Like it's really, you go past some of these really, really fast. These concept arts that they have shown of the inside of the attraction just look beautiful. I don't want to just go zipping on by and not be able to fully appreciate it, but it just I cannot wait.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I will say this must be before one of the end splashes because everybody in the concept art looks dry. So
the one thing I'm wondering,
I love the color of all of this, by the way.
So come with me on this for a little
bit. I'm coming with you.
When we were at D23 and we saw the model of Tiana's Bayou Adventure, do you remember what I was obsessed with at the top of
the
lift hill?
There was all the party lights.
Was the lights. The tunnel. I almost think Mama Odie is
right before the big lift hill.
Yeah, I was thinking it was Dr. Facilier.
That'd be a good spot because they sometimes hold you at that spot to go up the hill. So this would be a good spot for her to be talking to you.
I'm almost wondering if Mama Odie's not on the lift hill or right before the lift hill. That's my prediction.
I do feel like I'm going to miss Dr. Facilier, though, because I feel like...
Yes.
But it sounds like his, what is it, her snake, her seeing eye snake, Juju. And so that's going to be there. So and they got the original voice talent back, which is amazing. Yes. So it's going to be even better. I'm very excited for this.
Other familiar faces from the film, such as, of course, Princess Tiana, but also Prince Naveen, Louis, Eudora, who is Princess Tiana's mother, Charlotte, Big Daddy, the King and Queen of Maldonia, and Prince Ralphie, which is Prince Naveen's younger brother.
Oh.
Are some other faces that we will get to see in this attraction. So
It looks like the smell of beignets will be around the attraction queue. Wait a minute. They have beignets at Hungry Bear now, probably because people are going to get off of that and want a beignet.
Uh-huh. We talked about that.
Did we?
Oh, maybe you weren't here. Maybe that was James and I that talked about that. Yeah, I feel like that placement of having beignets at is intentional now. I'm very excited. I'm glad that we're getting more of this beautiful concept art because this looks very visually appealing. When they get very into the storyline of missing ingredients and all that, it sounds a little overcomplicated to me. So I'm glad that we're focusing and they're showing off more of the visuals, because I think that's really, especially with how fast this attraction goes. Like, again, they might be able to slow it down some so that you're not whizzing on through there. But yeah, I'm excited to see this visually. I'm not sure. We'll see about the storyline once we get through it. But visually, I'm really excited.
They had some pictures from the work that they're doing in Disney World in their version of Splash Mountain. And they were talking about, I'm trying to find it. Oh, yeah. They've already taken the top of the mountain off. Mm-hmm. So that's something to, it's kind of neat because we'll get to see what ours will look like as Disney World progresses. It seems like they're making some pretty quick work over there. I mean, it's been close for a couple months, but I'm excited to see what it looks like. It's supposed to be very similar. Well, another Disneyland After Dark night has been announced for this summer. Disneyland After Dark Pride Night will be the first official Pride celebration at Disneyland on June 13th and 15th. As with all the After Dark nights, there will be themed entertainment, Disney characters, photo ops, and more. Tickets go on sale April 20th, no earlier than 9 a.m. Pacific. Magic Key holders can get tickets a couple days early.
Now, some of you might think, wait, first official Disney Pride event? That's right. Gay Days has been a fan-run Pride event that's been going on in the parks for years.
Yep.
Years and years and years. But this is the first Disney official. Disney's putting it on. And it's going to be an After Dark night. I'm really excited. They've just kind of been, they just announced this, so we don't have all the details yet, of course. But they've been kind of teasing with some details. One of the first things you see from the Disney Parks blog article is the fun outfits for the characters.
Yeah, I like all the colors and stuff they have going here. Although I have to say, of all the outfits from all the characters, because it's Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and Donald and Daisy and Clarabelle has the best outfit, I think.
I like hers the best.
I love her colorful
Plus
rainbow outfit.
Purple shoes. So some of the events that they've talked about, there's going to be a cavalcade. There's going to be an Ohana dance party, a Pride Night dance club. Country line dancing at the Golden Horseshoe.
I heard people are really excited for this. I saw like comments, they were like, can you imagine doing line dancing at the Golden Horseshoe?
That is kind of cool. Plus, of course, like Tag mentioned, all of the other things we've come to love from After Dark Nights. Photo ops, free photo pass with your photo ops. I think that's the coolest part.
Chocolate almond churro.
Goodies, all sorts of themed treats.
The berry cheesecake funnel cake at Stage Door Cafe sounds like it's going to be amazing.
Spice beef potato loaded bites at Red Rose Tavern. Those are like loaded tater tots. Mm-hmm. Ooh, what is that drink?
The drink is a grapefruit lemonade soda.
Oh, okay. It looks more exciting than it sounded.
They always do good with the food and all that stuff. But I'm excited that they're finally acknowledging Pride stuff because there's so many people that go to the parks that are part of that community and just allies of that community as well.
The only thing that I'm a little nervous about with this, I hope this doesn't mean that they're eventually not going to allow gay days to happen in the park. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But a little part of me is like, I hope this doesn't mean that they're going to transition that event out. I think there's more than enough room and there's definitely more than enough days on the calendar to have multiple parties.
What do you think about these After Dark nights? They seem to be adding a lot this year. Do you think they're doing too many, not enough, just the right amount? Do you want them to do more?
My whole thing with any of the After Dark nights, really, Oogie Boogie Bash to me is like that's the bar.
Pinnacle.
That is the one. Like,
but that's not even like an After Dark event. That's the Halloween party.
I know, but it's incredible. So my whole thing is, well, maybe this isn't very fair because we haven't experienced our first non Oogie Boogie Bash.
That's true.
Ticketed event after hours in the park yet. We will once we go to Star Wars night, which I feel is probably also a pretty high bar. But the only thing that makes me nervous sometimes is the price tag of these after hour events and the short time frame that it is. And so is it worth it? I feel like they really need to be jam packed with all sorts of cool, amazing things. It makes me very sad when I see that there's people having to wait like 2 hours in line to meet a character or something, because the parties, that's like a quarter of your party. Not even a quarter.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
less than, that's like half your party or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, that stuff makes me sad. So I want them to be really well done, really creative, and make it enjoyable for everyone.
2 weeks and one day from when this episode drops, we will be Star Wars night.
Very true. Crazy to think about. I'm so excited. Even though like Star Wars is more everyone else's thing, I'm still excited to participate in Star Wars night.
Yeah. So I was talking to producer James about this because after we recorded last week, I want to say, we were talking about bringing, I was trying to decide if I want to bring my lightsaber. So producer James thinks if he wants to do something, he might buy a legacy lightsaber when he's there. So that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, weekly tiers who are fans of the spooky time of year should get excited. Disneyland and Walt Disney World are celebrating halfway to Halloween with some new sweet treats. The various treats are available starting April 20th. Through April 23rd.
So I know we're a Disneyland podcast, but I have to talk about the stuff at the top of this. So first of all, is this a macaron?
No, I think it's like a whoopie pie.
Whoopie pie. This whoopie pie monster thing from Walt Disney World looks really good. And same thing with this Madame Leota chocolate cake, which is a mini devil's food cake filled with dark chocolate ganache topped with chocolate glaze and marshmallow webs. Also looks very good. Now, if we get down to Disneyland.
And also, come on.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes. We've got the Kakamura Dole Whip Waffle Bowl that's available at the Polynesian Village Resort.
It looks like the little people from Moana that were on the ship.
So cute.
So, way down to Disneyland. Oh, what is this now? A Happy Haunts milkshake at Magic Kingdom. That also looks good. Because that a purple chocolate glazed donut.
There you go.
My goodness.
With a Haunted Mansion themed straw, I'm in.
Oh, they should have those all the time.
They should have those all the time. Those are so cool.
All right, what do we got at Disneyland?
Well, over at Disneyland.
not as exciting.
Yeah. At the Candy Palace and over at Pooh Corner, you can find a mini witch apple, an Oogie Boogie Crisp rice treat, so like an Oogie Boogie Rice Krispie, or a Jack Skellington cake pop.
Over at Disney California Adventure at Trolley Treats and Bing Bong Sweet Stuff, we have a mini witch apple. A Oogie Boogie Crisp Rice Treat and a Jack. Oh, same thing.
Same things. But Downtown Disney gets a little bit more exciting.
So at California Churro, they have a Halloween Churro, which, oh my goodness, does it really have what? It does. A churro rolled in cinnamon sugar drizzled with peanut butter and chocolate sauce and topped with peanut butter candy pieces. For those of you who like Reese's Pieces, that is exactly what these are.
Yum.
There's also a Halloween jack-o'-lantern macaron at Kayla's Cake, which is an orange jack-o'-lantern macaron with fruit-filled crisp rice cereal buttercream. Oh, that sounds
They
good
look
too.
So cute. They have little like jack-o'-lantern faces on them.
They
adorable.
Do look good.
And then over at Marceline's Confectionery.
Same thing.
Of course, we've got the Mini Witch Apple Oogie Boogie Crisp Rice Treat and the Jack Skellington Cake Pop. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like we got the easy stuff.
Yeah, why do you think Disney World gets all this?
I'm a little disappointed in our options. I'm excited that we're in on the celebration and didn't skip over us completely, but I feel like we didn't get the most exciting options.
No.
You know what'd be cool is if they brought back like popular things from Halloween's past.
Oh.
So I'm thinking, remember that you never got to try it. It was the Doom Buggy Bundt cake that I had.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a while ago. That thing was so good. Plus, it would go in well. It would tie in because we have the Haunted Mansion movie coming out in a couple of months.
That's true.
And I don't understand why they don't, you know, I think
just
it's
copy
fun
them.
That they offer different things for the different parks, but I also wish maybe, because there's no reason that we couldn't have a Kakamora Dole Whip waffle bowl or the Madame Leota chocolate cake.
Yeah.
We could have those.
Yeah. It's sad.
We can have those fun, nice things. That chocolate cake, though, is gorgeous. If you have a chance, link is in the show notes. Go check out the Disney Parks blog foodie guide just to take a look at this Madame Leota cake.
Well, speaking of a little bit of disappointment, it has been a long time since some shopping locations around the resort have been open, but that time has finally ended. Radiator Springs Curios, Wonderground Gallery, and Disney Home have reopened. Radiator Springs Curios carries Magic Band items, Magic Band Plus items, pins, and shirts instead of the Cars theme merch from before. Wonderground has remained mostly unchanged, and Disney Home has also not changed much since the close, which I'm surprised. I thought they were going to like expand these or do something.
Well, you know, turns out what they did was they have changed, but you don't notice it until you look up. So the ceiling of Wonderground and
Home cares
Store
about the ceiling?
Is now lower than it was because it's become a second story for seating for the new restaurant that is coming in. But yeah, otherwise it looks very similar. I'm just excited that it's back. I do wish they would have maybe expanded or, you know, did something, but I'm just glad that it's back. We did have the temporary pop-up, but I'm just glad. This is one of the best stores.
I mean, it is nice that they're using that space better to like make some more dining options or something mm-hmm. there. But still, it's just I just expected something more for some reason.
I was actually surprised that they reopened that quickly. So because we knew that the second story work was happening and we were pretty certain that's what was going on. But I also thought that they would take that time to redo the interiors
sure.
a little bit, too. So
apparently not.
Moving on to the next thing. Well, in Cars Land, the Cozy Cones are welcoming guests to order at each cone once again, and not just limited to mobile ordering. It's great to see locations offering guests the options to mobile order or to do standby.
I'm happy about this because I feel like the Cozy Cones were a great spot. Like, if you were in Cars Land and happen to be walking by and you're like, you know, that kind of sounds good, and you just go over and do it. But they have such popular things that I feel like when you do mobile orders, sometimes it was right away. Sometimes it was like an hour from now. And it's like, man, because like we like the paradise that
yes,
they have there.
Yep.
And I really enjoy the chili and stuff, the chili con carne mm-hmm. that they have and all of that. So I'm glad that people can just walk up now.
Yeah. I like the option.
Yeah. I think that Disney should add more cashiers back everywhere because mm-hmm. I think it'd make everybody happier.
Well, I think it'll help with the flow of things, too, because then you're not putting as much demand on mobile ordering,
yeah.
which then bogs it down, which then makes the guest experience not as great because you go, I'm here now, and it takes 20 minutes for them to get to your order because there's a however many other people that are here.
See, that's the funny
quote,
thing.
Unquote,
I feel like it's either one or the other, right? It's either you get
it's
there and
true.
You hit I'm here now and it's like, come up and get your food, mm-hmm. or it's like, I'm here and then you're waiting and waiting and you're like...
The thing that always is wild to me is when I order a drink and I hit I'm here now.
And you can
and
see
I get
it.
Stuck wait like and you're stuck in the you're waiting like 15-20 minutes. That's always that one's always it's got to be just the order of things. How
sure.
many other orders were ahead of me that were, you know, that I'm waiting for kind
well,
of
we've
thing.
Been we've had times where I did this at Pim Test Kitchen. We ordered something and I saw the food just sitting there. Mm-hmm. People are ready to grab it and what's happening? Nothing. Like it's they're just
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Well, two locations have closed in Downtown Disney. As of this past Friday, Catal and Uva Bar and Cafe have closed to make way for a new addition in the future. Two Mexican restaurants, Paseo and Centrico, will be replacing the locations in the future.
Which also, it will be expanding into the second story, we think, of Wonderground and the Home Store.
Yeah.
I'm...
Two Mexican restaurants.
Yes. I'm very curious about what this means for the future of
Tortilla Joe's.
Yes.
I heard that Tortilla Joe's is probably where they're going to put one of those other restaurants that they've announced from the past.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I love Tortilla Joe's.
I do like Tortilla Joe's as well. I think that seating as well. I love that little window, the walk-up window that they have on the
yeah.
side. I haven't used it in a while, but when I did
the
last
like
time, it was
the tacos
good.
And all that. Mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes, yes. Very good. But I am also excited to try new things in new locations, so we will see. So this one actually kind of threw us both for a surprise. On an innocent search of looking for fun news stories to talk about today, I got roped into a title about a 100th popcorn bucket that's new at Disneyland. I was like, there another new popcorn bucket? So I clicked. And what did I find? Well, yes, I found a popcorn bucket, but I also found gobs. Gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs of new merch, new, exciting, and fun, all over the board merch We do not have time to talk about all of this merch because that is how much merch there is. Link, of course, is in our show notes if you want to look at this article by the Disney Food Blog. We're just going to pick out a couple of things to talk through, but man, the floodgates have opened for new merch.
Love the design from Joey Chu, all this Joey Chu stuff that's right at the top of the link. It does look more like the Disney World castle, so I'm a little sad with that. But I love the colors and stuff. It gives me some Mary Blair vibes, which I really enjoy. So that's cool. And they got a Walt and Mickey partner statue. Yeah,
there's so many good things. There's tons of new pins. There's this whole big new section of Moana themed and inspired gear as well, which I feel like it's been a little while since we've seen Moana stuff. Hang on, I'm still scrolling. That's
I don't know if you guys talked about this when James was on. Did you guys talk about this shirt?
We did not talk about that shirt. You can talk about that.
Okay,
right now.
There is a shirt that so this is kind of funny. So I told James that when I go in our closet, I have so many Disney shirts now that I have to, if I get a new one, I have to get rid of an old one because I have too many.
Sure.
And then I was like, that's okay, because I haven't really seen any shirts that I've really liked recently, so I can do it. Then I saw this shirt.
Do you see the shirt to the left of that shirt?
I don't care about that shirt. This is the shirt I love. So this shirt has a giant Disneyland font D with some bright colors on it, some green, some orange, some red, orange, some blue, some gray, some pink. Looks amazing. It says Disneyland Resort established 55 with the castle there. I am getting this shirt when we're there. I love this shirt.
And speaking of Disneyland Font D merchandise, there is also a new castle hat. I can't tell from the photo if it's a light pink or if it's an off-white. But it's
The hat itself.
The castle is embroidered with the Disneyland D next to it. And then it's kind of got this fun, I don't even know what you'd call that. It's kind of like scroll work with little
it's like what you'd see on a wedding cake, like around the border.
Like little fancy scroll work, and there's even little jewels in there around the brim. It's very nice, very nice. There's also, I really like this castle bag. It's kind of a weird, not usually my color, like a mustard yellow color, but it's got Disneyland Resort embroidered on it. And then it's kind of got this retro feeling, what looks like a patch again with the Disneyland D and the castle on it. And it's got like daisies on it. It's so cute.
Okay, so this is not what this used to look like, right? Like the pin backs.
No, that's different.
Okay, because I was like, this looks different than this. These are all new because of that.
There's
I love the Chip and Dale pins.
Star Wars merch as well. There's tons, just tons and tons and tons of pins.
I have to have this up pin because it's got Doug and Kevin and Mr. Fredrickson.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't gotten to the. Oh, here we go. Finally, over at the Adventureland Bazaar. They jokingly said a Moana party because there was just all kinds of new Moana items. There's a Moana tumbler. There's a Moana cup with Pua and Heihei on it. There's a serving bowl with the Kakamoras on it. There's baskets, more plates, trays, more mugs, shirts, outfits, all sorts of things, bags.
So what is
headbands.
This? Is this like the supply chain finally got freed up and this is all the stuff that they were meant to have over the last couple years?
It's wild though, but there's also some very fun Disney but non-Disney themed, like there's these pants. Do you see this? It's like a fun print. They look like they're very comfortable pants.
They do.
Very loose fitting. But if you look really closely, you can see in there, there's like little Kakamoras in there.
Oh, okay.
So it's Disney, but subtly Disney. There's also a dress that's a subtle Disney dress. There's little silhouettes of Moana in that dress. And there's also new flower ears. I think those are very pretty.
My goodness.
Isn't it wild?
I don't even know.
The Adventureland Bazaar has got to be, with how much I'm scrolling, it's got to be a whole new store right now. Like,
that's
so
not
much
a big
stuff.
Store.
There's a ton of new Star Wars merch in Galaxy's Edge.
Bruno button-up shirt looks cool.
Yes. So many things. So many things. So
what is it? Oh, it's a magnet.
Prepare your bank accounts for the next time you go and maybe stay away from Shop Disney.
Here's the popcorn bucket
at
like
the end. Which
towards the end.
We knew about this popcorn bucket a couple of weeks ago, so it wasn't even new. But I wasn't here for the popcorn bucket.
Oh.
I was all there for all the merch.
I love this.
Yes, this lounge fly with Louisa that says Kanto. Beans Drog is fabulous. So many. There's just an overwhelmingly amount of new merch. And it's like a lot of good new merch. So merch is your thing. Watch out.
goodness. Teresa's right. I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. What is that?
It's Rapunzel and they're like lifting the lanterns.
Oh, I was like, what am I looking at? Oh, I get it now. It's a silhouette. Okay. Because I was looking at it. And I'm like, I don't understand what this is showing me. Oh my goodness, Teresa.
It doesn't stop. That's also one of my favorite pins too. Go back up. It's Max from a Goofy movie. And he's got one of the possums from, they're like, have you seen a Goofy movie?
A long time ago.
So they stop at this like little amusement theme park and it's all like possum.
Oh, is it supposed to be like the raccoon hat?
The possum. The possum from that little theme park. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
My goodness. Okay. Yeah, because I clicked on that link, and the scroll bar was so tiny.
I know. And then you're scrolling; it doesn't even feel like it's moving.
Well, now that we've gotten out of merch corner for a second, there are some neat additions around the resort to celebrate Earth Month. There are some upcycled elephants in Downtown Disney, which are made of recycled flip-flops found along the beaches of Kenya, and some recycled art pieces made by cast members, which guests can vote on to win the 2023 Environmental Art Challenge. The cast member art is located near Stage 17 in front of the Marvel Superstore.
These are amazing to me. If you have a chance, of course, again, link in the show notes, but if you don't have a chance to go see these in person, at the very least, check these out online. I cannot get over how beautiful and creative all of these are. Yeah. It's wild. There's one, it looks like an animator's desk, and they have like all of these sketches that look like they're kind of, I don't know, creating an archway and flying around the desk. There's this really beautiful,
these guys are haunting us this week.
Like a painting maybe of the Sleeping Beauty Castle with the Matterhorn in the back, and they even have the Skyway buckets. So
what are these guys called? We were just talking about them.
The Kakamora.
The Kakamora made out of like some cups and various things. That's so cool. Oh, your favorite, Hank.
Hank.
You love Hank.
My angry octopus, Hank. Yes.
You love Hank.
I do love Hank. But yeah, Hank, there's this really cool, this was creative.
Made out of CDs?
Yes, this Mickey Mouse statue made out of CDs. And then we have a platinum Mickey and Minnie. It looks like they maybe had been made out of soda cans.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey's shorts are made out or have Coca-Cola on them.
Yeah. And then Walt and Mickey made out of cardboard.
I know. Come on. How good is that?
Like, it's really good.
So creative. Really incredible.
It's really good.
I don't know how you could choose just one to vote for.
I think you get to vote for top three.
Oh, I could. Okay. I couldn't even do that. I'd have to. Like, seriously, they're all that good. How do you choose?
Walt.
I don't know.
Kakamora, Kokomora.
I don't know. They're all so good.
And the, probably a Hank.
The animator desk. They're so good.
Maybe the animator's desk. Anyway, check out the link in the show notes for all the photos of this stuff. It's pretty cool.
Well, there have been some updates to the Disneyland Forward program at Disneyland. Right now, there is no blue sky or plans laid out, but they are working on the environmental impact statement. After that, they can send it over to the city for a vote in hopes to get the parking lot rezoned. There will be issues having certain attractions in this area since there is noise restriction, since there's residential zoned right next door. So the thought process, we have a link in the show notes to David and Freshbake does a nice talk about this. He went to the presentation and basically no outdoor attractions because of the noise, but that doesn't mean that we won't possibly have indoor attractions if all the plans and pieces fall into place.
Yeah, I am a fan of indoor attractions. There's a whole theme park over in South Korea that my brother went to it's half indoor, half outdoor, but their indoor portion, because it gets colder like the Midwest, is all these attractions that are indoors, and I don't feel like it takes away from it at all. So I think it'd be really cool to kind of go along that idea of the original Epcot City, where everything's indoors and you could feel like you're walking around the streets and everything, and it seems like you're outside but you're inside. If you've been to Vegas, it's kind of like that. So I like the idea of this. I'll be interested to see what happens next? Because it seems like this was announced a while ago and we haven't really heard much about it. And then we now heard a little something.
Yeah, so it was announced 2 years ago and they're still in the very beginning stages of everything. So do not expect anything to be announced, you know, any major big things announced next year or maybe even the year after. This seems like this is just Disney trying to put the pieces in place to be able to do something more than just have parking lots for some of these areas and kind of look to what the next step is. So I'm curious to see how this turns out and what the city decides and, you know, how this goes out. I think it is interesting, though, because David was talking about this, how they're approaching this versus the Eastern Gateway project. Mm. This, they're kind of getting into the community and explaining the thought process and plans a little bit more. And they weren't kind of just, here's what we're doing. Here's all the plans. Now approve it so we can make it happen.
It's getting everybody kind of excited and on board with it instead of like, here's what we want to do.
Yep. Yep. So I think it's good to, you know, get the community involvement, but also, you know, give them the understanding and know what it is that they're talking about, too.
Absolutely. Well, a Disney game that was at the D23 Expo has some new information. Ravensburger released the official Disney Lorcana How to Play videos online before it's released. The game is scheduled to launch in August, so we still got a little bit of time. It's almost a year after they announced it at D23 or talked about it at D23.
Which is good, because us being game people, this one looks, I don't know, there's something, I just have this like gut feeling that this might be a little bit more complicated than games I'm used to playing. So I'm glad that I have plenty of time to watch the how-to videos and kind of get a better feel, better idea of what this game really is all about.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get interested and want to play really complex, complicated games. So I'm hoping that this will be something that's a little bit easier for everybody to play, especially people like myself who don't want to get totally crazy with some of their stuff. So I will say this game does look gorgeous. The artwork and stuff with it looks really amazing. And so I'm interested to hear more about it.
Me too. Well, Disney didn't have any new attractions up for a Themed Entertainment Association Award this year, but they were still able to bring home an award. Susanna Tubert, Disneyland's live entertainment creative director, won a Catalyst Award for her theatrical work. She is responsible for Viva Navidad, the new Mulan New Year's Procession, and Tale of the Lion King. Disney also won a Legacy Award for the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Don't encourage them, Themed Entertainment Association.
But if you're going to, I mean, a Legacy Award. Award,
sure.
Main Street Electrical Parade. Yes, that makes total sense to me.
I'm glad that they won something. I like when they win things at the Themed Entertainment Association. I mean, I feel like Disney should always be there and ready for that. And yeah, okay. It's cool that they won something for the Electrical Parade. I mean, who would have thought the Electrical Parade would win anything?
Yeah, being as old as it is.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that instead of it being all about like the fancy new attractions, that what they did win is live entertainment stuff, because we very much enjoy all of the shows that they listed here, all the shows they listed for Susanna and Viva Navidad and Tale of the Lion King. We haven't gotten to see Mulan's New Year procession in person, but the videos I've seen of it, beautiful. So I think that's really, really, really cool that it's performances that are getting recognized.
Yeah, I think it's great. And it's always great when individuals in the organization get recognized for stuff, too.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. With stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All weekly tiers for...
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we're going to spend a little bit of extra time in Trivia Land with our favorite producers, Vern and James, for another Trivia Spectacular.
Well, let's wait, because at the end, they may not be our favorite producers anymore.
See, now I was trying to be nice.
Oh, you're trying to hope that they'll be like, yes. Butter them up a little bit?
Aren't we the only producers, though?
I mean, our favorite.
Aw, thanks.
Sorry, James is grandma's favorite blue-eyed grandson.
That's right.
Which is the only blue-eyed grandson.
Hey, don't take this away. Otherwise, we're going to keep on invading more and more of this podcast.
Oh, yes. Lord. I mean, you did pretty good a couple weeks ago when I was not here. So.
That's true. All right. We do have a spectacular ready for you. We have 23 questions spaced over 5 different themed categories. All Disney related, of course.
Okay.
Yes.
And we'll let producer Vern go first.
All right. Your first question, submitted by producer James. What is the name of the special alphabet used in the queue for Indiana Jones?
Oh, it's... what is it? Myroglyphs.
Mara glyphs?
Mara glyphs.
I thought you were going to say Star Wars. I was going to be like, Arabesh, I know this one.
I feel the excitement.
So Mara, what was it? Mara glyphs. Yep. Sounds feasible.
With the spectacular.
You didn't know?
I couldn't remember off the top of my head.
Oh.
All right. Our second question in the generic Disneyland category. Which Disneyland attraction opened first? The Casey Jr. Circus Train or Dumbo the Flying Elephant?
Ooh.
Dumbo.
I think it's Casey Jr.
We're split.
Ooh, fighting for points.
You go down, Urban.
Because Dumbo was supposed to be an opening day attraction, but was delayed.
Do you think Casey Jr. opened? Because weren't they still working on all the stuff? I don't know.
We'll find out.
I guess.
Okay. And your third question in the generic Disneyland. Michelle Pfeiffer was a cast member. What role did she play?
My gut thing was Catwoman, but that's not even Disney. What character did she play?
What role did she play?
What role
as a cast member?
Okay,
she seems to me like she could have like been one of our face villains. So either like Maleficent or the Evil Queen.
Well, you got to pick one.
I'm gonna say Maleficent.
Okay, I'm gonna go. I don't know. The only thing that comes to mind, I'm not going to get this point. I'm going to say Snow White, but I don't think that's right. But I'm going to put it down anyway.
You know, maybe she was Catwoman and was the leader of all the Disneyland cats.
Oh,
wow. There you go.
Nice.
But that's for later. Our fourth question. What is the oldest building in the Disneyland park? I'm testing your memory to see if you remember this from episode 140.
Oh, this is the Opera House because it was the first one completed because they used it for the mill stuff.
Yep.
And your fifth and final question in generic Disneyland. This is an estimate, but if you had to guess, how much trash do guests create on an average day?
Day?
Are we looking for like pounds?
Let's go tons.
Tons.
I was going to say it's probably tons.
It's a lot of pounds.
Yes.
I'm going
to
say...
If you want to convert to pounds, by all means, but...
2.5 tons.
5 tons.
All right. You ready for the scores?
No, but I'm sure...
ready for the answers.
Sure.
Your answers in generic Disneyland. For your first question, what is the name of the special alphabet used in the queue for Indiana Jones? You said Maraglyphics. The correct answer we were looking for was... Maraglyphics.
I love how you checked it off before they even said anything because you were
that
so
was
confident.
Confidence.
Well done.
Good job, Teresa.
There, but it's okay.
Your second question: which Disneyland attraction opened first, Casey Jr. Circus Train or Dumbo the Flying Elephant? Tag saying Dumbo. Teresa saying Casey Jr. The correct answer we were looking for, with July 31st, 1955 versus August 16th, 1955. Casey Jr.
Good job, Teresa.
It's going to run out. Don't worry.
You say this every time. And yet somehow.
Your third question. Michelle Pfeiffer was a cast member. What role did she play? Tag saying Snow White. Teresa saying Maleficent. The correct answer we were looking for was Alice in Wonderland.
Oh.
You were not too far off then with your Snow White thought.
Yeah.
You can see it now, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
I still think she would have made a wonderful Maleficent.
Yeah.
The fourth question, what is the oldest building in the Disneyland park? Both of you knowing that the Opera House used to be the Sawmill. Very good.
Woo!
Woohoo!
And the fifth question in generic Disneyland trivia, an estimate, if you had to guess, how much trash do guests create on an average day in tons? Tag saying 5 tons of garbage. Teresa saying 2.5 tons of garbage. The correct answer we were looking for, 30 to 32 tons.
Oh my God.
That is 60 to 64,000 pounds.
Wow.
Of garbage.
Oh wow!
Well, if you think about it now that you're saying that, if you think about it, how many custodial cast members do we see going around with those giant bins?
It's
and
wild,
there's probably
though.
Liquid and food and everything else, which adds to the weight.
Mm-hmm.
The blogs and sites that I found this estimate for all did make sure to mention that Disney does do a lot of efforts for recycling and other environmentalism when they can. So. Yes, that's a lot of trash, but
wow.
And actually, the thing that I learned when I was doing the Disney World Marathon, which isn't exactly the same as Disneyland, but running the Disney World Marathon, you do a lot of running around the backstage areas. And we ran around the backstage area of where their water treatment facilities are. And they had signage along the course explaining how they do recycling of their water and like how much of their water like stays completely in-house. And it was actually really cool seeing like how little impact they have on the environment despite like all of their water features and things like that. So knowing how much they do just in that one area, I'm sure that they're doing as much as they can in other areas as well.
That's cool. Although I feel like if I was trying to make decent time on a run, I'd be like, why are you putting this stuff for me to read? Slowing me down.
But that race, I wasn't there trying to race and that's be really true. Fast. Yeah, I was there to have fun. So it was cool to have things to read and, you know, learn stuff. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Disney races are more about the journey and not the time.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. If you're running a Disney marathon for speed, good luck.
You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. You run a Disney marathon for fun.
All right. Let's move on to our second category and enough questions from me for a while. These are all about Disney movies. Ooh. Thanks to our listeners.
Oh, I'm screwed.
Yes.
Good luck, Teresa. I'll see you on the other side.
Our first question comes from listener Steven S., who wants to know this, or who says, I should say, this movie was the first animated Disney film to receive a PG rating.
Do you know this one?
Bother.
Do you say bother?
Yes.
Winnie the Pooh. Got it.
Teresa says
it was a Disney animated movie, you said?
Disney animated movie, yep.
Most of them are G, aren't they? I'm going to say Hunchback of Notre Dame because of all the hellfire and everything.
Oh, that's not a bad thought.
Hunchback, not bad, not bad.
Okay.
Teresa, what are you thinking?
My gut was Mulan. I have no idea why, but that was my gut.
Around the same time frame. Things get a little edgier.
All right. Your second question in Disney movies from listener Cameron A. The Golden Horseshoe Saloon in Frontierland was designed to replicate a saloon from a 1953 movie. Can you name the movie?
I feel like we've talked about this before, but I don't. It was some weird Western movie that I don't know.
I don't know this one either.
I'm just going to throw out a dumb thing that's not even anything. I'm just going to Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett.
I don't think that's a dumb guess.
It's not terrible.
No, I was going to say because it was very Davy Crockett. Like, he was a big part of Frontierland when he first opened up. I have no idea, so I'm just going with Tag's throwaway guess of Davy Crockett.
Throwaway guess. Wow.
All right.
Let's go on. Maybe you can feel better about this one. Our third question from listener Shannon S. What's the name of the beast when in human form?
Oh.
What's the name of the beast? Yeah. Okay, hold on.
I'll give you a minute.
Oh, poop.
I don't think that was his name.
I don't know.
Adam.
I don't think I knew that. Because when you said that, it didn't even like tickle anything.
Well, I don't know if I'm right, but that's my guess is Adam. And your guess was poop.
It's how little I think of him, apparently.
No.
Teresa's competitive side is coming out.
And your fourth question from listener Liberty M. Lea Salonga served as the singing voice of Jasmine and what other Disney princess?
Ooh. Oh, she did two Disney princesses? Disney Prince I, if you will.
Prince-a?
Princesses.
That's no fun, James.
I know. Call me Fun Crusher.
So she did two voices?
Two voices.
So Jasmine and somebody else.
Two singing voices, though?
Two singing voices.
Yep. Who was the actress again?
Lea Salonga.
Singing voice of Jasmine and who? 10 seconds.
Ariel. I don't know.
No, that's Jodie Benson. We saw her singing at D23.
That's right.
5 seconds.
This isn't right, but I'm going to say Mulan because apparently Mulan's my go-to answer.
Are you going to watch Mulan after this?
Yes. Apparently, I need more Mulan in my life.
Apparently. All right. Last question of the round. From Liberty M again. According to Walt Disney, which scene in a classic Disney princess movie was his favorite piece of animated work?
I'm going to say...
Tough movie question.
I'm going to say it's the one that I always see clipped out, and I feel like he would feel proud about, which is the where Snow White's dancing in the place with the dwarves. Because I feel like, for some reason, I feel like that clip is played like all the time. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that would be Walt's favorite. Or find it. What was it?
Are you talking about the still that's right here in Trivia Land?
Oh, yeah, even that. I couldn't even see that through everything, really.
That's a good one.
Because I remember them doing, like, tons of, like, watching the actress, like, spin around and get it just right and everything.
They did that for Sleeping Beauty, too.
Yeah, well, maybe. What are you going to say?
I like your Snow White thought.
Oh, you're going with Snow White.
Yep. Because you said it was a princess one, right?
Princess movie, yep. Okay.
How many princess movies were around before Walt passed?
Too many.
Because it was Cinderella, Snow White.
The transformation scene with Cinderella's dresses also.
Oh, that is a good one.
That's also a good one.
I love that. I love the little swirls. Are you going to switch to that?
No, because I'm not positive on my time. I don't know. I don't know movie
Cinderella
dates
was
well.
Around before was Walt it? Passed. Yep.
Cinderella was early. Yep.
I want to say it was in the early 50s.
Okay. I'll go with that. With the Cinderella dress scene.
Cinderella dress scene?
Okay. All right. Let's see how you two did in
Talk
this group. Disney movies.
Not well, I don't feel.
This was not our strong suit.
This is why we say we're a parks podcast and not a movie podcast, right?
That's
this
why.
Was good movie trivia.
All right. So Stephen S. wanted to know if you knew which movie was the first animated film to receive a PG rating. Your guesses of Hunchback and Mulan are incorrect. Need to pick up your frying pan. It's Tangled.
Really?
Wow.
Why was Tangled PG, I wonder?
Great question. Someone should follow up with that.
Probably because of the frying pan violence.
Well, but Mulan, you had, like, the war.
Mild violence.
Frying
characters
pan.
Are chased, shot at with arrows, or threatened with knives. There Some engage we. In hand-to-hand combat. A young girl is kidnapped, verbally abused, and kept locked inside of a tower.
Huh.
There are a lot of knives.
Several characters being hit with a frying pan, some of them repeatedly.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Frying pan violence.
Wow. Yeah, I really thought, like, the war, you know.
Yeah.
I think Mulan didn't really show anyone getting hit, I think. So.
Yeah, but come on, Hellfire? I mean, that's pretty.
Kinda, that was a terrifying song.
But that was religious. And
I suppose.
They tend to let a lot of things slide on the bounds of religion.
Lord, whatever Frollo, he was freaking scary, though.
Oh, yeah. He was.
He was Judge Frollo.
Judge Frollo,
yeah.
All right, moving on. Our third question. What's the name of Beast when in human form? I skipped the second one. Thanks.
Free point.
Someone keeping me on track. Second question. I was just skipping it because there's no way they got this one right. The Golden Horseshoe Saloon in Frontierland was designed to replicate a saloon from a 1953 movie. Tell me the movie. It's not Davy Crockett. It's Calamity Jane.
So
see, that was tickling my brain.
We knew that because while we were going on to the next question, I looked it up and I was like, oh, nope, we're wrong. Because we have the Disneyland Encyclopedia sitting right here that we rarely use.
It's great to
clearly need to use more.
Yep.
Great to verify us on this one. So thanks, Cameron A, for that question. Our third one from Shannon S was, what's the name of the beast when in human form? Tag it is not poop. Teresa, it is indeed Prince Adam.
Where do they say it's Prince Adam? In the movie? Or is it like afterwards or something?
I don't know where
did
I
you
know
just go,
from. Yeah, I did. I'm not sure.
Canada?
I'm not sure if they actually say it in the original movie or not.
Okay. I feel like it might come out at the end. Because yep, I think at the beginning it's just a young prince.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
In the opening montage, all they say is the young prince sneered at the gift, and they just keep calling him by
then
the
she's
prince.
Talking about, Belle, it's me, and then it is you.
All right, the fourth question. Lea Salong served as the singing voice of Jasmine in what other Disney princess from Liberty M? You gave me Ariel and Mulan. Well, when in doubt, go with Mulan. It's the right answer.
Woohoo! I knew Mulan was in the Disney.
Good
was
job.
In my brain for some reason.
Just had to wait for the right one.
Yeah.
And our last question, also from Liberty M. According to Walt Disney, which scene in the classic Disney princess movie was his favorite piece of animated work? He talked about the dance in Snow White and the Cinderella dress transformation. Teresa, feel good about Tag pushing to the right answer. When Cinderella's dress transforms from rags to a white ball gown.
Told ya.
Wow.
Not good.
So maybe Teresa needs to start the Disney movie podcast now.
We all have a superpower.
Your third section tonight, we're going to ask you some listener-submitted questions, or a listener-submitted questions, about Disney cruises.
Oh.
Thank you, Sarah P., for these awesome questions we have here. We're going to start you off with, there are three different sizes or classes to the Disney cruise ships. What are those classes called?
So this is like the types of ships, right?
That is correct.
I have no idea.
Oh. There's such nervous laughter.
There's the Wish class. I think it's the Wish class because it's like the new one, right? Isn't there?
There. So each ship has a different name. No. So there's...
No, but usually in cruise ships, the first one is the name of the class.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So like when we rode...
we've got the Magic then because the Magic...
Magic class. And then there was the... There's the Wish class. And then what's the... What was in between? What was the third ship that they built? Wonder class?
No, the Wonder's also small. Fantasy?
Fantasy class sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah, because like on Royal Caribbean... The Oasis class, the first one was the Oasis of the Seas. Okay. And so it's an Oasis class.
I'll go with your logic.
But the only one that sounds 100% right to me is the Fantasy class, because I feel like the people talk about the Fantasy class a lot for some reason.
All right, so that was Magic, Fantasy, and Wish, final answers?
Yeah, I think so.
All righty.
Well, that brainstorming should help you with the second question for cruises.
Oh, goodness.
Can you name all five ships currently in the Disney fleet?
So the Wonder. The Magic. The Wonder.
The Fantasy. The Wish.
The Treasure's the new one. I don't know if that one counts.
Not sailing yet.
Okay.
And no bonus
Dream.
Point.
The Dream.
Good job, Teresa.
That's my new Disney bucket list right there.
Oh, all the ships?
All the ships.
All right. Your third question in Disney cruises. Which ship was the first one in the fleet?
The Magic.
Let's say, Teresa, you better get that.
Well, we were just talking about it, so the Magic.
All right. What year was the cruise line established?
Wasn't it like 97? 19?
I was thinking 98 for some reason.
Well, I'll say 98. I'll say 97.
1997 and 1998?
Yep.
All right. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, what?
It's 25 years this year.
So what does that make it? The 98? So bad at math. So 98, yeah, because it's 23.
25 years, yeah.
So I'm changing my answer to 98. Now, wait a minute. What was the question? Because I feel like there's a technicality.
The question is, what year was the cruise line established?
Yeah, 97.
Or would it have to be like 95? Like, how long does it take to build a ship and all that stuff?
That's a great question. You might be right. Do you want to change your answer to 95?
I'm sticking with 98 just because.
Okay.
Sticking with 97 and 98.
I love how they're over there like cackling at us.
We'll explain later.
We'll explain. Okay.
And your fifth and final question in Disney cruises. Italy was the location for the building of the first two ships. What other country is responsible for the building of
Germany.
The rest of the fleet?
Yeah, Germany.
Germany.
What is that adorable little town?
I don't know, but I know that they go forever up that little like riverway, and I'm like, why is this giant ship so far inland at the shipyards?
I just watched the Wish show, or whatever. If it was the making of or the building of the Wish, but I want to visit that little town. It's so cute.
It is cute.
All right, Germany, is that your final answer?
Yeah.
All righty. So again, we want to say thank you to Sarah P. for submitting all of these great questions.
Sarah, I love you if we do good on this, and I don't like you.
I did pretty all right on this. The year is the only one that I don't.
Yeah.
First question. There are three different sizes or classes to the Disney cruise ships. What are those classes called? You answered the Magic, the Fantasy, and the Wish. The correct answer that we were looking for was... The Magic, the Dream, and the Triton.
Triton. That's right. The new one's the Triton class. Why didn't they stick to the normal naval conventions? They did in the beginning, and then they were like, we're Disney. We're going to do it different.
Well, because they're Disney, and they can do it different.
So the Wish is the Triton class.
Triton class, yeah.
Yep.
It's a way better name for a classic ship.
Why didn't they just call it the Disney Triton?
They need a ship.
Great question.
The Triton.
Next, you were asked to name all five ships currently being used. Your answer and the correct answer, the Magic, the Wonder, the Fantasy, the Wish, and the Dream.
Yay.
Nice work, Teresa.
Soon to be also the Treasure. That's a bonus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Bonus point for that.
I wonder what they're going to name that massive one that they bought.
I don't know.
They might just call it the Massive One. To make you happy. Your third question in Disney cruises. Which ship was the first one in the fleet? Both of you knowing the correct answer there, it's the Magic.
Woohoo!
That was during the time period that everything Disney put had the word magic in it. So they're like, yeah, it's called the magic. It's the magic class.
It's such a Disney word.
Well, magic yes, because everything's got Disney magic. Mm-hmm. Now, your fourth question. What year was the Disney Cruise Line established? Key word there. Your answers of 1997 and 1998. The maiden voyage of the first ship was in 1998.
Good job,
Dennis. However, the Disney Cruise Line itself was established on May 3rd of 1995.
Oh! Of course.
You always have the right answer.
You had both of them down.
Don't stick to it, though. Pick the wrong right answer.
You just got to have some more confidence in yourself with the answers. Bam!
And your fifth and final question. Italy was the location for the building of the first two ships. What other country is responsible for the building of the rest of the fleet? Both of you know, and before I was even done asking the question, Germany.
Do we know what the name of the town is?
No.
Would you like us to find out?
I am looking here.
Peppenburg.
Peppenburg. That's it. It's the most adorable.
Yeah.
I want to visit Peppenburg.
They only have, their population's only 37,000 people.
Maybe, and they all build ships.
We're going to be like,
oh. You got time.
James, are we going to be close enough to Peppenburg?
I have no idea.
Where are we in Germany? Sorry, I got him distracted. Sorry. Blame Teresa.
Your life stories. We're in Northern Germany and Southern Germany.
Oh, it's in Northern Germany.
What's the Northern Germany one? Hamburg?
No. We'll be further over.
Braunschweig?
Yeah. Or Brunswick. We will. I don't think we'll even go through there on the train.
Mm. We are 3 hours and 18 minutes from Poppenburg.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a bit of ways away.
We can go have some cheese in Munster. Anyway, sorry.
All right, let's move on to our fourth category. This time we're going to ask you about some Disney history. I know we've already had some in there.
Disney, or Disney parks, or just Disney in general?
Disney in general.
Oh, there we go again. Good luck, Teresa. See you on the other side.
You might surprise yourself.
Maybe.
I think we'll start you off feeling good. In 1993, thanks to Liberty M for submitting this one too, three hopefuls joined the Mickey Mouse Club and went on to become popular musical artists. Who are they?
Oh, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, and who's the third one? Ryan Gosling, right? Yeah. Good job.
And your second question from listener Liberty M. What year did the New York Mirror feature the first ever Mickey Mouse comics?
Ooh, Mickey Mouse turned 90. What was that, 2019? Because weren't they in the middle of his 100th or 90th anniversary when the pandemic happened? I'm going to say 1930.
I like your logic, playing
what
out
your
the
gut
90s.
Say, Teresa?
31 for some.
31.
There's no reason.
But your gut is saying it, and your gut, you should listen to your gut more.
All right, third question in this group. A mountain resort project was to be built in Northern California.
Oh, hold on. Hold
28,
on.
1928.
Ooh. 28. You're going with like his birth time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry, James. Start over.
No, that's okay. It's good to trust your gut, Teresa. The third question, and you only have me to blame for the rest of these. A mountain resort project was to be built in Northern California under the direction of Walt Disney. Can you recall its name?
This is why the Country Bear Jamboree.
Yeah, it was going to be in the Sierra Nevadas or something.
Crystal Mountain? No. I don't know why this trips me up. We've gotten this question umpteen times. Okay, I've gotten this question for umpteen different things. And I can't ever remember what it's called.
I just know it was in like, it was in the Sierra Nevadas. It was near, was it near Reno? Or was it near Tahoe?
Like I said, the Country Bear Jamboree was created for it.
There's an S. Sierra, no. There's an S in there, isn't there?
I mean, I know that.
Shut up, James. I don't know. It's not coming to me.
I don't know why I cannot remember this. Tree Ranch is the place, or was that what you were thinking?
No.
Okay.
All right, I need you to lock in your answers.
I gave up.
I'm giving up too. I know, and as soon as you say it, I'm gonna be like, ah, I don't know why I can't remember this place. Like, why this name just falls out of my head.
Was it Glacier or something? No. Or I don't know. I give up. Teresa, you give up too?
I'm giving up.
Yeah, we give up.
Nothing. Hold on to nothing.
White flag.
All right.
This is embarrassing. We should know that one.
And your fourth question. The Disneyland we know today covers a vast 160-plus acres of land. One of the early concepts outside the Burbank offices was much smaller. Within five, how many acres was that plan?
Oh, I was going to say it's the Mickey Mouse Park.
Mouse Park? It was yes. like 10?
Within 15. Five.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 15.
All right.
Little.
One more Disney history question for you. When did the Disney Company acquire their 80% stake in ESPN?
Oh.
Well, it was before I worked for the internet provider in California, because we talked about how ESPN was awful, and I knew they were owned by Disney by then. It was Eisner era. I'm going to say 1996, for some reason, is what's coming to mind.
That's when I wrote down 1986.
Hey!
We're just going to go with it.
1986?
If they gave us a five-year buffer, like, both one of us could be right.
86 and 96, all right.
Smack dab in the middle.
We'll find out, right? But first, we got four other questions from Disney history. So our first one. In 1993, three hopefuls joined the Mickey Mouse Club. Today, at least at the time as they were coming out, they were popular musical artists. Some still have some staying power. The three we're looking for, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, and Christina Aguilera.
Oh my god.
I would not say Ryan Gosling is known for his musical talent.
No.
You said musical, but wasn't Ryan Gosling part of it?
The musical part.
We should get a half point for that.
I mean, you got two out of three. That is well done.
Part of it? Maybe he wasn't. Oh, yeah.
There he is.
He was part of the Mickey Mouse Club. Yep. We just skipped over the musical part.
Yes. Right, right for the movies. All right.
How could we forget Christina Aguilera?
I told you something.
Mulan has been on my brain all night.
All right, back on track. The second question. What year did the New York Mirror feature the first ever Mickey Mouse comics with a gut guess of 1930? Tay gets the point for this one.
I figured it probably didn't. He didn't get published in New York right when he was new.
Yeah.
It was well done. All right, now that third question where you gave me nothing. A mountain resort project was to be built in Northern California under the direction of Walt Disney. Can you recall its name?
Mineral King.
Mineral King, yeah.
He Googled it.
Of course you did.
I don't know why that name always, it doesn't stick in my brain. I don't know why.
It doesn't stick because I feel like it should be something related to California and like the Sierras or something, and it's not.
Yeah, very different. Mm-hmm. So, would have been interesting to see another park under Walt's direction in a very different way.
I'm getting closer, though, because I'm like, is it crystal something? That's kind of like minerals. At least going in the correct direction.
I did feel like that.
Anywhere close, but...
Yeah, glacier, crystal, all these things that were just... Almost. All right, moving on. The fourth question. The Disneyland we know today covers a vast 160-plus acres of land. One of the early concepts outside the Burbank office was much smaller. You correctly identified as Mickey Mouse Park, but that wasn't the question. I wanted to know, within five, how many acres was that plan? One of you is within five. It's Teresa. It was originally only an 8-acre park.
Woo!
The original concept was a small park with a boat ride and a couple themed areas.
So tiny.
Told you.
I'm so glad they didn't. That wasn't the direction they went, because poor Disneyland got locked in there super quick. So
sure.
We have a space issue, and we have way more than 8 acres.
Yes.
And our last question for the Disney history round, when did the Disney Company acquire their 80% stake in ESPN? Redemption for Tag, 1996 is the correct answer.
I don't know why. It was just something tickling my brain, as you would say, Teresa, that it just came to me.
Good job.
Do we have one last category?
We have one last category.
Ooh.
Just three questions for you in this one.
Okay.
We're calling this one Disneyland Rapid Fire.
Oh.
Each of these questions has multiple answers.
There's none that has like 15 answers, is there?
Nope. I think the most is 8.
Okay.
And we'll give you a point for each of them.
Oh, wow.
You've made it this far with us, so.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
All right. And all of these are brought to you by Producer James. Your first one in Disneyland Rapid Fire. Tell me the non-holiday parades that have walked through Disney California Adventure since 2000.
Well, there was Eureka, a California parade, which has the great thing. There was the Pixar Play Parade.
Paint the Night.
Paint the Night. There was the Block Party Bash.
You're killing it. 2, 3, 4
That's because Eureka.
Not in this one.
Oh. Eureka and the Block Party Bash are so bad that they're good.
Oh.
I don't know. Eureka has no Disney characters in it at all.
No,
it's so
but it's
weird.
So cheesy and bad that it's kind of like good in a way. I don't know. I find it endearing. I think that's it. For the non-holiday. You said non-holiday, right?
Non-holiday.
I can't...
Oh, well, didn't the Main Street Electrical Parade...
Oh, that's true. Main Street Electrical Parade. Good catch.
Electrical Parade and I are good for something.
Winning awards and winning trivia, apparently.
Yes. You good with those answers or you have any more?
I think that's good.
All right. We'll move on to our second one.
Do we have the proper amount?
You do have the proper amount.
Hey!
Second question, this one. What are the 8 character statues surrounding the partner statue at the hub?
There's Goofy.
So we've got Goofy. We have Chip and Dale.
Is Chip and Dale 1 or 2?
It's 1.
Okay.
We have Minnie.
Daisy?
We have Pluto.
How many are there? 8?
8.
4. We're only halfway around, Egg.
Daisy? Is Daisy 1?
Put Daisy down.
Pluto? You said Pluto.
We have Pluto.
We got Goofy, Chip and Dale. So we got like all the main, because Mickey's with Walt, mm-hmm. So there's not 2 of those, right?
Donald.
Donald. I don't look at these very often.
7, 8.
In my mind, I see Halloween ones like Jack Skellington, but that's over them.
Is Roger Rabbit one of them?
I think Roger Rabbit might be one of them.
I'm going to say that.
Then who are we missing?
Someone that I feel very bad. I've missed. Because I don't think Chip and... You're counting Chip and Dale. Well,
Chip and Dale count as one statue.
Okay, so let's think about this. Is Snow White or any
they're
of
all, they're
them?
They're all animated.
Animated.
Well, okay, sorry.
Non-humanoid.
Yeah, non-human animated.
Okay. So I'm trying to think, like, I'm trying to think of other... Dumbo? Not Dumbo.
Yes. Dumbo. Good job.
Hey.
That is excitement, Teresa.
That's right, because it's right.
Good job, Tay.
I have more confidence in Dumbo than I do the Roger Rabbit answer. The Dumbo statues. We're going to have to go say hello to all of them. The Dumbo one is adorable.
And your third and final question of the night. What are the locations you visit while riding Web Slingers?
Oh, I don't know. They're full of bots.
What do you mean locations?
I'm too busy flinging my webs at them.
While you are riding Web Slingers, you're in the Web Slinger car,
like different...
and you are shifting about inside.
Avengers Campus, I think, is one of them.
Yep. I don't know. I'm too busy trying to hurt my arms.
Avengers Campus is my only actual... It's more than that, but...
Avengers Campus is a place in Disney California Adventure.
Huh?
Did you mean Avengers HQ?
Sure.
Okay. You're welcome.
I don't know. I just feel like I don't remember anything about it because... I'm too busy trying to hit all the things.
I know. I can barely remember what bots I'm supposed to be trying to hit. And there's like the Megabot thing.
Well, the last time I was trying
like
to pull the boxes.
Looking thing. Like there's warehouses that we're in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay. We give up on that one. HQ is my only input. Are you going to go with HQ?
Yeah.
All right. Wrap it up for how they do.
It doesn't say anything.
All right. So in your Disneyland rapid fire... All of these questions submitted by producer James. Tell me the non-holiday parades that have walked through Disney California Adventure since 2000. You said Eureka, Pixar Play, Paint the Night, Block Party Bash, and Main Street Electrical Parade. And the correct answer we were looking for was Eureka, Pixar Play, Paint the Night, Block Party Bash, and Main Street Electrical Parade.
Woohoo! Good job, Tay.
I'm glad that you thought about the electrical parade.
my two were the nighttime parades. That was my input.
You were the
you
nighttime
did the hard
person.
Work.
Yeah, the electrical parade came in after Eureka. Didn't last long, so.
Would you have gotten Eureka
I would have gotten
Block
the play,
Party Bash?
Nope, I would have gotten the play parade, though.
Have you seen that in person?
The play parade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it was in Disneyland when we saw it.
Oh my goodness, okay.
And your second question. What 8 character statues surround the partner statues at the hub? You said Goofy, Chip and Dale, Minnie, Daisy, Pluto, Donald, Roger Rabbit, and Dumbo. The correct answer we were looking for was Donald Duck, Minnie, Chip and Dale, Goofy, Dumbo, Pluto, the White Rabbit, and Pinocchio.
So what two did we get wrong?
You said Roger Rabbit when you should have said White Rabbit, and you neglected Pinocchio.
And you replaced him with Daisy.
Oh.
Yeah, Daisy. Yeah. So the White Rabbit, too. Dang.
You know what? Now that you say the White Rabbit, yeah, I totally see it in my head.
Yep.
We got to spend more time over here and get to know these characters.
Well, I think what happens is we just like zip on through the hub when we're going places.
Yeah. And your third and final question. What are the locations you visit while riding web slingers?
Well, we could just end right here.
Which, you know, I will admit, I am totally with you. I'm looking at the answers and I'm saying, I have never noticed any of that.
They are all nods to places in the park in Avengers Campus.
Yes. What? And it all kind of makes sense when you're looking at like what the actual mission is, that the spider bots are taking everything over and you've got to stop them. And so the Quinjet hangar, aka Avengers HQ, that I kind of led you into.
Yeah, you did.
That's is one of the correct answers, and we're giving you credit for that. And then you started in the prototype garage at Worldwide Engineering Brigade.
Yep.
Which is where we went out of. And then you travel into the PIM test kitchen.
Mm.
And from there, you travel to the Collector's Fortress, and you end at the Quinjet hangar.
So, Avengers Campus, technically, we're correct.
Yes, sure.
You could make a blanket argument that Avengers Campus encompassed the whole thing, and you were just right by saying that. Yes.
I mean,
we'll give you 1 point.
I mean, in the future, we could just say, like, where is this located? We'll be like, Disneyland Resort. I'm not incorrect.
You could just say Anaheim, California.
That's true.
Earth.
It's on Earth.
So what did we end up with total points wise for the whole game?
Great question. Give us a minute.
Okay.
All right, we've done the math.
Okay.
The scores have been verified and validated.
Oh jeez.
And there is a 2 point difference between the two of you.
Really?
Wow.
Teresa won.
One of you scored 22, one of you scored 20.
With the final score of 22 points, Teresa Urban.
Told ya.
Woo!
Yay, trivia champion.
Good job, Teresa.
That was fun.
I would hope so.
You did well, too.
The Disney movies really just sunk your tag.
Yeah, that's totally unsurprising.
That was the difference. In Disney movies, Teresa got 3 points and Tag got 0.
Totally unsurprising.
On brand.
Yep. On brand. Had it not been for that.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed your extended stay here in Trivia Land. It was a blast having you for so long. Maybe you'll come back again sometime soon.
Yes, we should do this again.
And to help us, we could probably use some more questions from the listeners.
Oh, we're always appreciative of all of our wonderful listener-submitted questions. Listeners, we hope that you enjoyed listening to this as much as we enjoyed doing this. And if you think you've got some great questions that you'd like to hear used for our next regular trivia round or for the next trivia extravaganza, you feel free to send in those questions to trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.